Sports Radio 90 Time, the game opening day, a couple hours away from kickoff. Pittsburgh Steelers, Atlanta Falcons taking it at top of the hour. This is what's going to happen here. Top of the hour, Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson and the Falcons Radio Network pregame show. That'll lead you to the coverage of the game. Wes Durham, Dave Archer from inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Immediately following the game, Rob Tribble will be in the Falcons studios to host the Falcon Flyover. All your reaction to what you see today, and that'll lead you all the way up to our live coverage tonight of the Sunday night game, that game Joe Patrick talked about between the Rams and the Lions. So a very busy day here on Sports Radio 90 tonight, the game. And today, of course, the opening game. I guess when you're talking about, we don't even know who the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be. Whoever it is, you're going to have two new starting quarterbacks for two new offensive coordinators on both these teams here.
Yep.
So it's going to be a lot of kind of feeling out time here. Joe, what do you expect? How does this game to go? Who do you think is going to win, and how's the game going to progress?
I think the ball's going to move based on what we've seen these first couple games of the NFL, and with teams not really playing in preseason, there's more unscouted looks, and so I think that teams are just generally going to be able to move the ball up and down early in the season, especially here in week one. But I feel like these teams are also going to get bogged down a little bit in the red zone. So I kind of foresee a lot of field goals here in this game. Do you want to score? I've got a score prediction.
Wait, if you want to make a score prediction.
Sure. I'll say 26-16 Falcons. I think the Falcons are still going to handle this like relatively comfortably, but it might leave a little bit of wanting a little bit more on the table.
Well, and especially when we're talking about, look, the one thing we do know about the Pittsburgh Steelers is we know their offensive coordinator, and we know what he likes to do. He likes to play short games. Mm-hmm. He likes to take the air out of the football. He doesn't want to get into a shootout with Kirk Cousins, I don't think, especially with an offensive line that's as banged up as it is. I don't think he really wants to get into a 35-31 game.
Agree. Yeah.
So I think that Arthur Smith is kind of thinking about, let's control the clock, let's control the ball, just like he would do if he were on the other side and still our head coach. So I tend to agree with you. I think somewhere in the vein of 24-17, 23-17, I think it's, 3 to 6 points either way. I like the Falcons to win the game. It'll be interesting to see how they start the game, because I think one of the most intriguing things for all of us is seeing this team for the first time in those first series, both on offense and defense. What are we actually seeing?
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen these teams yet.
Yeah.
All right. All the thanks to Jersey Mike and everybody out here, to all the folks at Wade Ford, and, of course, to my partner Joe Patrick. Stand by as we get ready for the Falcons and the Pittsburgh Steelers and our live coverage on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. It is the first football Sunday of the year right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Ten, nine, eight.
Like A.J. Terrell or Chris Lindstrom in reworking their deal for the future. So both of it's happening at the same time in a Falcons franchise that now appears on paper. If you don't see it setting up for this year and for the future, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, what you describe with the Steelers is really, to me it boils down to just the culture that they've established in Pittsburgh over the last 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And that is what this Falcons organization and Arthur Blank, I think, are hoping to really reestablish. And there was clearly a football culture here through, I would say, the Michael Vick years and the Matt Ryan years, of course. And it's kind of funny how these, all evolves around the quarterback, at least here in Atlanta. And now what this team has done at the quarterback position this offseason, again, setting up that culture long-term, getting a quarterback who can come in and produce and get this team to where it wants to be right away, but then also taking that bold stance in the draft and going after their future quarterback as well, that puts them so that they don't have to be worrying about what the future is going to be like after this, potentially short and temporary, stint with Kirk Cousins. I think that's what's got a lot of people actually excited now. When the draft first happened, there was a lot of consternation over that for understandable reasons. People were confused, upset, and maybe still are, but at least you see where the thinking was in terms of drafting a guy that we can hope can mold and build, kind of groom into being the guy that can be that culture setter and be the foundation of what Falcons football is into the future. And so I think it's been a really, really smart, and I would say, there's a lot of wisdom, it feels like, between Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris with how they carry this team.
Let me put it to you this way. I think they're finally playing chess instead of checkers.
Yeah, yeah.
How about that? And this is what Terry Fontenot is trying to set up here. All right, let's talk a little bit about the game today. There is some controversy. Arthur Smith is back in this building. The last time he was in this building, he got his butt kicked,
ooh,
and he was screaming at people. And he was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And the very next game that he's involved in is with the Pittsburgh Steelers on the other side as the offensive coordinator. How much does this play into the fact that Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator? Really familiar with the team that he's playing against.
Yeah, no, I think it's actually a pretty significant advantage for the Falcons in this circumstance, because they kind of know what an Arthur Smith offense looks like. And it would be one thing if they were facing Arthur Smith down the road and that, you know, he's been able to establish a style of play with a Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or whoever it might be. But when you're coming in week one, it's your first competitive game under this offensive coach, you know that really the only thing they can do is rely on the fundamentals of, you know, what they install, the basis of what that offense is. So I think the Falcons are going to have a pretty good idea of what's coming their way. Obviously, there's going to be some specifics that are always unscouted. And with a player like Justin Fields, if he does end up starting today, he always creates a level of danger and kind of unpredictability that, frankly, has hurt the Falcons. They really got roasted by him toward the end of last year in Chicago. But I think this Falcons team has to be really confident and knowing what they're going up against in an Arthur Smith offense.
Let's talk a little bit about this. If you're just joining us this morning as we count down to the 1 o'clock kickoff here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium between the Falcons and Steelers, one of the big storylines here, you know, there are a lot of storylines on opening day, of course, with the Atlanta Falcons. But with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the storyline revolves around the quarterback position, where they have two veteran quarterbacks that they picked up in the offseason, one of whom in Russ Wilson, who was banged up with a calf injury during most of all of training camp, and was reported earlier last week as to being a no-go for this game. And Justin Fields, who had been starting in the preseason and taking pretty much all the snaps, was out there saying, I'm going to be the starter. And it looked as though we were going to face Justin Fields in his return. Of course, many people in Atlanta know that Justin Fields is a high school star here in town at Harrison High in Kennesaw. But Justin Fields coming back home and being the star. And all of a sudden yesterday, here comes Russ Wilson coming out saying, Joe, I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. I want to start.
Yeah.
So Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin have a decision to make, and is it a problem for them?
I think they do. I think we're going to find out who the quarterback is about 90 minutes before game time. And my thinking is that they're actually not going to play Russell Wilson in this game. It just seems to be the specific injury that he has. Ian Rappaport has noted that the Steelers are particularly cautious with calf injuries, but he is expected to go through a workout this morning. He may actually be doing a bit of that right now, and they're going to see what he looks like. But, you know, Justin Fields certainly seems to me like the player that you'd want if you want to kind of go a little bit more risk-averse, actually, mm-hmm. and just knowing who the quarterback is going to be throughout the duration of the game. If I were them, I would go with Justin Fields, especially considering, I mean, Arthur Smith would know more than anybody what Justin Fields was able to do the Falcons last year, so maybe that's also a reason to give him a go.
All right, let's talk about the health of these two teams. It is the opening game, the injury report, brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. All right, Joe, give us the very latest on the injury status from both clubs.
Well, it's week one, so it's... You hope that it's not a heavy injury week, although it kind of is for the Steelers, not so much for the Falcons. The only player they'll be missing is Antonio Hamilton, who came up with a groin late this week, and he's going to be out of this one. Therefore, the Falcons have elevated Kevin King from the practice squad, a player who a lot of fans and myself thought he would be included on the initial 53-man roster. He is on the roster today, so we expect him to play, as well as Chris Blair, who was elevated from that practice squad. So we expect both those guys to play today. Other than that, the Falcons have a clean bill of health, despite some players who missed some time this week.
You know, I read an interesting note. I wasn't really sure that I understood. It's sort of like how baseball has this, you can only go up and down so many times. I didn't know until I was reading this morning that there was an NFL rule that if you're on the practice squad and you're elevated, you can be elevated three times. Three times, okay, elevated to the game squad three times. But if you're elevated a fourth time, you either have to stick with the squad or you're cut.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they're going to have to make some decisions here, and Chris Blair and Kevin King. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that they automatically are going to be, elevated next week or the week after. They may hold them. I don't know how this will work. But both did show up and show out in the preseason. They were two of the three biggest stars probably on the team in the preseason.
Yeah, and Kevin King gives you a little bit of versatility as well defensively. A guy who's played corner traditionally, was a former second-round pick, but now, you know, showed he played a little bit of safety in the last preseason game for the Falcons. So wonder if they could just use him a little bit there, utilize some of that versatility. versatility. But yeah, and the Falcons have an open roster spot at this point in time. After they traded Taylor Heinicke, they've not filled it yet, so they could potentially use that down the road, but I would have to think that that will get filled next week. Turns out that if they were to have signed a player prior to today, then that player's salary would have been guaranteed, as to where any player signed after week one, their salary is not guaranteed for the entire season. So it makes me think that that's why they've been waiting to hold off on filling this spot. So we'll see what happens there.
Pittsburgh, you mentioned, they have serious problems.
Yep.
And maybe kind of good news for the Atlanta Falcons on their offensive line.
Yeah, exactly. We've already talked about the quarterback situation. Russell Wilson officially listed as questionable for this game. Maybe the biggest miss is Isaac Simulau, the team's probably best offensive lineman at left guard there. He's going to be out of this one. But then, you know, you've got issues. You've got Broderick Jones, who's kind of a iffy at tackle. He will be starting on the injury report, but they've got issues with their other tackle, Troy Fatanu, who is ready to play today, not on the injury report, but just joined practice this week. He's been injured in the entire training camp, pretty much all of training camp, just come into practice this week as a rookie. Do you actually start a player like that? If he is starting, you know, these Falcons edge rushers got to be licking their lips at the opportunity of going against him. Just a couple more, John, before you get going. Just one notable injury for the Steelers remaining is Roman Wilson, rookie wide receiver out of Michigan, was going to be out today.
Now, coming back for the Atlanta Falcons, Troy Anderson coming back for the Atlanta Falcons, Grady Jarrett. And Grady talked about his health. Everybody focuses in on the return of Kirk Cousins from his injury. They almost overlook that Grady's coming off a serious injury where he only played half the year as well. And this is what Grady had to say about that.
Every time I get an opportunity to go on that field, I want to put my best foot forward, and this is my next opportunity. You know, coming back from the injury, obviously, is something that you know, plays into a storyline. But, you know, had I finished off last season, had everything been going what I thought was my way, I would come in this game with the same juice.
I got to tell you, I think Grady Jarrett is chomping at the bit to become that Grady Jarrett. I think he, not only because he was so instrumental in helping recruit Simmons and Jadon here, Joe, but also because I think Grady sees an opening with the retirement of Aaron Donald, with a defense you're going to have to kind of look at Matthew Jadon, or maybe you're going to have to look at a Zach Harrison or an Arnold Ebukadi. I think Grady Jarrett's kind of looking at this saying, hey, maybe this is, I've reached a point in my career where I can become the number one player, unquestioned number one player at that position in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that just having gone through the injury, I think it just really makes you appreciate so much more about the game. And, you know, there's no player I appreciate more in this Falcons team than Grady Jarrett. Just his mentality, I think about it as like a samurai mentality. He's so disciplined. He's so humble. He's such a hard worker, so selfless. I mean, the guy is everything you want in a football player, and there's no better player for the Falcons than him being a hometown guy who has, you know, come off of this traumatic injury, and I think is ready to really assert himself in a way that I don't know if he's felt like he's been capable of doing in a few years now on a very talented defense. So really excited to see what he's able to bring to this Falcons defensive line.
It is a Falcons Football Sunday live from outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We keep that clock a ticket towards kickoff between the Falcons and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Falcons are favored in this game by 3.5 points. There's a lot of high hopes for the Atlanta Falcons this year. It's going to be a very interesting game today. Our Wait For It tailgate show brought to you in part by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. And I didn't look online this morning at Ticketmaster, Joe, but I can imagine this is sold out. It's not going to be an easy ticket. Kansas City game, not going to be an easy ticket. The game against the, you know, the Swampers and the game against Tampa, it's going to be a little bit. That's why it's going to be so much fun, because I think it's going to be electric. Now we just got to get all these people that are out here, enjoy it till about 12:30, and get your butt in the seat.
Yeah, make a plan. Make a plan. But yeah, no, it's going to be so exciting today. I just cannot wait for all the action to get kicked off. We've got people walking around here now in all kinds of different costumes, uniforms. Oh, it's this the best.
All right, we take a quick break, and when we get back, some of the keys to the game. What did Grady say about winning today? Is winning this game critical to the Atlanta Falcons? It was a point of discussion this week amongst a number of fans here. We're live outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling,
"Come on, move!"
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Set the tone for the whole season, you know, and I know the fans gonna show up big time for us, and I think it just start us off on the right foot with this new regime going, doing what we got to do, and but you know, it's not the end all be all, but at the end of the day, you want to win the opener.
You do want to win the opener, Grady. Perfect song too by Noel White, because the boys are back in town. As we get ready for kickoff between the Falcons and the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sports Radio 99 The Game. This portion of the Wait For Tailgate Show brought to you by Motlick and Associates. When winning is everything, and it is today, call Motlick Injury Attorneys at #WIN, that's #946. John Friggy alongside Joe Patrick. Talking about some of the keys to the game here, and to me, I think one of the keys, just kind of broadly here, is going to be what is the ratio of, you know, kind of the since we haven't seen the offense yet, mm-hmm. the balance of the offense. Is it going to be because I keep hearing it's going to be, for all the talk of, you know, hey, listen, you got, you know, you didn't mention Kyle Pitts. You could touch on him and his health, too.
Sure, sure.
You know, for all the talk about Kirk Cousins and the fact that these wide receivers and these pass catchers are saying, hey, the ball's right there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For Drake London and for all these guys and Darnell Mooney and whatnot, I still think this is going to be run first. I really do. Behind this offensive line with Bijan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the bigger misconceptions about what this offense is going to be, is it's still going to be one that wants to impose its physicality. And Sean McVay with the Los Angeles Rams is kind of notable for, I think they ran 94% of their plays last year in 11 personnel, being one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. I think we're going to see a lot more 12 personnel with the Falcons this year because you have a tight end in Kyle Pitts, and there's a reason why they went and signed a player like Charlie Warner and paid him like a guy who's going to play quite a bit. So we're going to see differences in this team and how they operate offensively, but you know, overall, I think, yeah, you're still going to see them try to impose themselves physically. It's going to be tough against this Pittsburgh Steelers defense, which still has some absolute superstars
Monsters.
Up front. Yeah, whether it's Highsmith or DJ Watt or Cam Hayward, obviously a local guy here who everybody knows about. But, you know, I think it's going to be important to keep Cousins clean. I think the passing that we do see from him early is probably going to be a lot of quick stuff. I think that's going to be one of the ways they actually get Pittsburgh a little bit on their heels so that they are able to run the ball, is do some quick passing so that they're having to move, especially sideline to sideline. But it's going to be interesting to see how Zach Robinson pieces it all together. To be perfectly honest, nobody knows. This is his first time calling plays.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I think interesting this week, there was some chatter, Joe, in Flowery Branch and around the Falcons about Kyle Pitts and a hamstring, and Kyle got kind of mad. And he went onto the exit Twitter and said, "What are y'all talking about? Missed two plays, and you got me on the shelf here." So, you know, I don't know. He seems to think he's good to go.
Yeah, he certainly will obviously be a major factor today. He's not going to be limited, I don't think, in any kind of sense by this hamstring. Yeah, Raheem Morris, you know, came out and said that he was going to be limited, which is, and he made mention of the fact that that's not something the Falcons have really done as in being that transparent, especially with Kyle Pitts in particular and his injuries and everything that he was going through last year. So I think it was good that Raheem Morris kind of came out and they were being a little bit more transparent in that sense. But I also think because they did that, maybe people went a little bit overboard in what that actually meant for Pitts, who obviously he feels like he's going to be able to make a huge impact in this game.
It is a Wait For It Tailgate Show, counting down to kickoff today. Portions of the Wait For It Tailgate Show brought to you by Orchard. Sell your home and get paid twice. Learn how at orchard.com. Well, again, I want to go back to this critical thing here. It's important, as Grady said, and as some fans have said, that, you know, this is a critical game. I don't want them to build this up too much in their mind. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's 18 weeks long. There's 17 games. I think it's important for the Falcons to come out and set the tone today. But when we start looking at the bigger picture here, today I'm afraid that some fans are going to have – this is going to happen, Joe – that if they don't win, there's going to be some sort of – sense of abject panic of, oh, we built ourselves up and here we go falconing again.
Yeah, that will definitely happen if they lose this game. It's football, it's the NFL. I mean, it's that's what people do, is they overreact, they react emotionally. That's what fans are. But Yeah, I don't know. I certainly hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but you're right. I mean, it definitely could, and it is a long season. So we just have to see kind of how they get there. I think that's also an important thing is, you know, something we were saying about in a winning sense is of it's not just about the results, but it's about the way the team plays if they were to lose today. I think a lot of how people feel about that will be determined by how that transpired. If a loss does occur, how does the loss happen? Was it kind of a fluky thing? Was it because you maybe missed a couple field goals like we saw the team have some issues
with
in preseason?
Don't speak that into it.
Hey, I'm just – hey, you can lose games
I don't want to talk about that.
Way,
so. I want Younghoe Koo to be on point, on target. I want Bradley Pinion to be on point, on target. I want him to be – I want him to be good. I don't want to be – we haven't mentioned specialties for a reason because it's not really – I don't want to go there, Joe. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what to expect because now we have three defensive coordinators, third defensive coordinator in 3 years. Dean Pease to Ryan Nielsen, who they wanted to keep. I think – so, you know, when they fired Arthur Smith, Ryan Nielsen was not fired.
Yeah.
And there was an intention on Terry Fontenot's part to keep Ryan Nielsen – as the defensive coordinator, if he were to hire a new head coach saying, hey, we're keeping our D.C., we really like where we're at with him. But when they hired Raheem, Raheem said, look, I got my own D.C., and that's when Ryan Nielsen ended up going to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So Jimmy Lake comes in here, got a head coaching experience, obviously. Jimmy Lake comes in here. I get a sense that with Zach Robinson, you tell me, Zach Robinson in the offense, Jimmy Lake in the defense, and then back over here you have Raheem, and he's kind of overarching on both sides of the ball. So Raheem is co-offensive coordinator and co-defensive coordinator for this team. Does that kind of strike you
absolutely
that way?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Raheem is one of those – he's a football guy. He loves football. He loves the tactics of football. I don't know if there are many head coaches in the NFL who are as well-versed in both sides of the football than Raheem Morris is, despite the fact that Raheem Morris is still a relatively young coach. I think he's 47 years old, but he's been around – such great offensive minds in the game, well, offensive and defensive, but he's been a part of maybe the most illustrious coaching staff in history with the formerly Washington Redskins there when they had Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Bobby Slowick, you know, all of these guys who are now just superstars in their field. Raheem Morris, obviously a crucial part of that coaching staff. He's just been around it all, so he has so much experience and he can offer that knowledge to both Zach Robinson and Jimmy Lake. I think, honestly, one of the challenges for a guy like Raheem Morris that he's had to kind of develop over the course of his career is not being too imposing on
right.
his ideas and letting them actually, you know, actually delegate, let them control things, but just offer tips here and there where he feels like they can optimize in a certain
right.
area. I think that's a wise way to go about it.
Okay, so let's do that. What do we expect from this defense? Do you have any idea what Jimmy Lake is going to do in terms of pressure packages? Look, I don't know who's going to start at quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can tell you, I think it's going to be Justin Fields, but would it shock you if Russ ran out there? No, but I think it's going to be Justin Fields. And the last time the Falcons saw Justin Fields, they could not contain him.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Fields literally ran all over the field on them in that game in Chicago. So what do they do on this defense? Do you expect them to be a read and react defense? Do you think they're going to have blitz packages? Are they going to be aggressive? They've got, you know, a front seven that's pretty solid. They now have a veteran secondary. I don't know where they're going to lean and how they're going to – I don't know what to expect. I think the defense is really an area I'm going to be saying, okay, how are they going to play?
Mm-hmm. I think on defensively, they're going to look a little bit different than they did last year, especially on the back end when you look at the secondary. Last year, what Ryan Nielsen really liked, a classic Ryan Nielsen defense, is to have, you know, four big dudes along that front four. It's a traditional 4-3. Have your cornerbacks or even your nickelbacks really in kind of press coverage, like up in receivers' faces, you know, disrupting their routes and things like that, where they then have their back turned or in a lot of man coverage situations. I think Jimmy Lake's going to have a much more zone-oriented defense. I think that's going to open up opportunities for especially the cornerbacks to be able to make impact plays because they're going to be able to read, key in on the quarterback's eyes a little bit more than they have in the past when they're just turned and solely focused on guarding a receiver. And then I think it will be interesting to see what kind of pressure packages they bring in this game, especially if it's Justin Fields as the starting quarterback for the Steelers, because the book on how to defend Justin Fields, not just by the Falcons but other teams, is you don't rush him. You drop eight, you make him beat you with his arm, and you don't allow him to scramble at all. And I think that is probably what we're going to see from this Falcons team if he's the starter. I think you're not going to see them try to come after him because that's when he can really burn you and create dynamic plays, create explosives. But it'll be interesting to see because I do think they are different strategies that you bring toward these two quarterbacks. But I think either way, you should be able to kind of get some good feelings going against these guys because they're both very capable of the turnover, just making a sloppy throw here or there, especially early in the season. And both these guys take a lot of sacks in their careers. And so you hope that this Falcons pass rush can kind of get those good feelings going, bring these guys down today.
How difficult is it, Joe, for Jimmy Lake and that defense to prepare for – essentially have to prepare for two different quarterbacks, even though the good news is they're both known commodities, so it's like, you look at the Madden and play Madden and go, okay, well, we know exactly what Russ brings. We know exactly what Justin brings.
Right, and I think that not only are they do you have a good book on them, but they're also, limited quarterbacks in that they excel in what they do well, but they really don't in things that they don't. And I think that, especially with Justin Fields, I think about that. And I think that at least limits the amount of ways that you feel like you can be threatened if you're this Falcons defense, if you're Jimmy Lake in particular, who's devising the defensive scheme. It's going to be very interesting to see how it actually plays out. And I think that this Falcons defense is actually better equipped to deal with a player like Justin Fields at this point with the linebackers that they have. With Troy Anderson now back healthy, I think that this is a huge year for him. And he is the prototype linebacker that you want from the physical attributes, the size, the speed. But can he actually make those impact plays that the Falcons drafted him to be able to make? These are the kinds of games where you actually need it when you're going up against a quarterback like Justin Fields who's really going to spread things sideline to sideline, make things fast.
It's going to be interesting to see how this season kind of unfolds for the Atlanta Falcons. It is a football Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Wade Ford tailgate. You can be everybody getting pumped up here. And we see these, what are those hanky things called? The yellow hanky things that these Steelers fans wear?
The awful, awful, terrible, I don't know.
I know. It's some kind of
terrible things.
Some kind of hankier thing. I have no idea. Anyway,
it's a hanky.
Yeah, that's all I know. Anyway, going back to, and I'm not trying to speak it into existence, let's be clear. I said 10 wins, and Raheem comes out and goes, well, Mike's job, talking about Penix and Cousin, Mike's job is to get ready and prepared. Kirk's job is to get us to a Super Bowl. And I'm like, wait, you use the word Super Bowl? I mean, and then he said it again. When Kirk's trying to get to a Super Bowl. He's actually, you don't do that as a head coach.
Yeah.
You don't say those words. To excel, to try to achieve things. You don't just go out there, just throw it out there. Oh, yeah, by the way. But I think inside Flowery Branch, they walked in and said, guys, look, here's the deal. Our goal here is to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We're going to say
we're not gonna
Super
be afraid
Bowl.
Of it. Yeah.
We're not going to be afraid. No, they're embracing the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And embracing just the expectations, right? Like and holding yourself to that standard. I think that's where players can sometimes and coaches be frightened to go in terms of kind of taking that on, putting that burden on their team, but I don't think Raheem Morris is scared about it.
Yeah, he's not, and I think, there's something to be said for let's aim for the stars and the moon and see how far we can go, because if you don't go all the way to the top, you never get there. So let's see how this season unfolds, and it begins today in a showdown between one of the great franchises in the history of the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in town against the Atlanta Falcons. Quick break as we count down towards our network coverage at the top of the hour. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, live from outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
For sure, you can't win them all if you don't win the first game. So that's what you want to do. And you don't want to talk about the season and entirely before you even start playing. But if you want to win all your games and hoist the championship at the end of the year, be perfect, that's what you want to do.
That's what you want to do if you are the Atlanta Falcons, and that is Matthew Judon. Wade Ford Tailgate Show, live from Northside Drive here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This portion, the picks and predictions, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this football season at mancavestore.com. All right, let's talk a little bit about this this segment where, the folks at Wade Ford, having this great tailgate that they always like to throw. It has been one of the great tailgates in Atlanta Falcons history. Wade Ford's tailgate has always been kind of like a central focal point, you know, with all the great food and everything. Boy, I own three Wade Fords. That should tell you something, right?
It's amazing out here, just seeing, smelling it, seeing it, hearing it. It's just great. This is football right here.
All right, let's talk a little bit about. We're going to get into game predictions before we hand it off to the pregame show with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson. But I wanted to ask you to make some other predictions here, Joe, and I ask you to write them down here. We're going to pick the offensive player of the year, who you think is going to be the offensive player of the year for the Falcons, defensive player of the year for the Falcons, the rookie of the year for the Falcons, their final record, and we'll pick those. And then when we come back from the next break, we'll pick the game and tell you how we think it's going to go. Who do you expect is going to be, as you look at all the weapons that are around that team on offense for Zach Robinson, will be the offensive player of the year?
For me, it's got to be Bijan Robinson. I think just he's going to have the best opportunity of all these Falcons playmakers that they have to actually show out. And it's not to say that I don't think that, you know, Drake London isn't going to show out or Kyle Pitts isn't going to show out over the course of the year. But,
right, I mean, you know, you've got to pick one.
The combination of stats that Bijan Robinson is going to be able to accrue over these 17 games, I think, is going to be not – other players are not going to be able to match that if he's able to have the year that I think he's going to and be able to stay healthy. What about you?
Yeah, no, I think – I said a couple of months ago that I think Bijan Robinson is the best running back in the NFL not named McCaffrey.
Could be, yeah, yeah.
And I think this is the year that when he gets, you know, with this offense and with this quarterback, I think you get him into space. I say to you, let me ask you a question. What do you think the over-under, I'll give you an over-under. Let's say it's 7.5 over-under 30-yard-plus plays from scrimmage, running or catching for Bijan this year.
No, it's going to be over. It's going to be over.
It's going to be a lot of explosive plays.
I think they're going to be able to actually get him kind of drawn up for more explosives. Part of it is because I think in the pass game, he's going to be so much more dangerous because last year's quarterbacks, well, until we got to Heinicke was actually the first one who was able to actually find Bijan out of the backfield on some stuff that's not so designed. I think that, you know, Kirk's just going to find him in so many more areas. And something Kirk's going to do for all these pass catchers, but I think Bijan's going to really be able to, this is going to help Bijan the most, is deliver him the football in a way that he's able to run after the catch. That's going to help Pitts and London a ton. We haven't seen them do much these last couple of years, but Bijan is going to catch so many of those swing passes where he's able to be on the move and pick up a ton of yardage.
Yeah, so we both agree that Bijan Robinson, player, offensive player of the year. Matter of fact, I think Bijan will be looked at as offensive player of the year in the NFL.
I think he's going to be in that contention for sure. If he stays healthy,
of course, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, you have a nice little backup there. You know, one of the things this Falcons team we haven't talked about, and I know we don't really have a whole lot of time to talk about it right now, is that you start to look – I was looking at – if you go to our lads or you go to the AtlantaFalcons.com page and look at the depth chart of this team, you look at the second unit going – you know, there are a lot of times where that second unit could be a first unit for this team, you know?
Tyler Allgeier is going to have a bigger year than anybody thinks in terms of statistics. And I think
Your backups are Michael Penix and Tyler Allgeier?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Darnell Mooney's a receiver that's not getting talked about because of all these other pass catchers, but he's going to get a lot more just statistics than I think a lot of people are imagining right now.
And a lot of choices, too, on the defensive side of the football. Who do you have as Falcons Defensive Player of the Year?
I got Matthew Judon for similar reasons to Bijan in that I just think that he's going to have the most opportunities to be statistically successful. And I think that his quality speaks for itself and what he's done over the course of his career. And also just kind of the cherry on top is he's also going to deliver something that's been so desperately needed for this team for so many years. It's not since John Abraham was here that this team has had a pass rusher on the edge that, you know, I think opposing offenses really have to game plan around. I actually don't even put Vic Beasley in that category. So I think Matthew Judon's going to be this team's defensive player of the year.
You know, I think for the same kind of reason, I went back and forth on this pick here. And for the same kind of reason what you're talking about is that if he does, then suddenly I think you're going to see a lot of teams shade door. I think if Grady Jarrett gets one-on-one blocking, he is going to blow up the middle of a lot of lines. You know, I mean, we're talking about a guy that, you know, would have been the Super Bowl MVP had that game gone a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a monster year. I think Grady Jarrett will be the defensive player of the year for the Atlanta Falcons. And this is the year that he ascends to everybody saying, okay, this guy is – we start talking about, you know, Ring of Honor stuff for Grady Jarrett.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
Rookie of the year.
This is an interesting one because there aren't obvious rookies. This team is not built in a way that's really going to be relying on a lot of rookie players. But I've got J.D. Bertrand because I do think that as far as guys who could see the field, I think that he's in line to see the field more than any of these other rookies because of the nature of the position. There's a tendency for injuries to happen there at linebacker that could see him get on the field. He's also going to play a bunch of special teams and stuff. I know it's weird to think about a fifth-round pick at this stage kind of being your rookie of the year, but I think over the course of the season, he'll get more and more reps, and I think people are going to see just how solid he is.
Yeah, I know, and I think what you're going to see out of Casey Williams is going to be interesting. I think it's going to be really kind of is he a guy that can really impact that, as a third wide receiver?
Casey Washington.
Casey Washington out of Illinois.
Yeah.
Casey Washington. Can he impact it as a third receiver? And that's possible, but I think there's so many options in the passing game. I can't go there with that. For that reason, I think I'm going to go with you. I think Bertrand. Look, this linebacking core is the one area that we've probably the least talked about area.
There's the least solidified, known quantity pieces there at
right.
that group.
I mean, but we know that Lamon and Ellis and Anderson and now Bertrand in kind of that mix there too. But I think the rookie of the year is actually going to be Brandon Dorlus. Mm. And I think Dorlus is the one guy that can really kind of blow up things. I think between Trice and Dorlus, they got first-round talents in both of those picks.
Yeah.
And deeper in the draft, second and third round kind of guys. I think Brandon Dorlus is going to be a guy that, with all the rotations on the defensive side of the football, making lots of plays, and you're going to see Brandon Dorlus kind of blow up into this guy. Oh, man, Brandon Dorlus is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And you're going to see that this draft was really good. This, I think the offseason at large for the Atlanta Falcons was, on paper anyway, and that's all we're dealing with, was spectacular.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why this offense this offseason was such a success for the Falcons was because now you've got this class of rookies that comes in, and there's not an immediate need for them to fill into a starting role and produce. These guys can come along kind of slowly, and I think that these guys that we're talking about, they're not going to be the names that we're talking about after this game, but they could be the names that we're talking about after games in week 15, 16, 17. These are going to be guys who come along slowly, develop their games under some really good tutelage, especially some of these interior defensive linemen,
right.
And end up having really good years.
All right, so a final thing here in just about a minute or so that we have left in this segment here. What is your projected record for the Atlanta Falcons this year?
I'm on the optimistic side. I actually kind of low-key think that this team could end up with the NFC's number one seed just because when you look at the schedule. So I've got them at 12-5. And I actually think they could be potentially better than that, but I've got 12-5 right now for this team.
Well, I went to 10-7 back in the spring when they came out of the draft. I said 10-7 and winning the South. I'm going to up that by 1 to 11-6. And depending on how they start the season here, you're right. The back half of the schedule, there's a potential here. One of the questions I have that is, can they go on like a five-game win streak? When the Super Bowl team happened in 2016, some fans forget. They lost a game at home at the Georgia Dome to Eric Berry on a two-point return to the Kansas City Chiefs. They were 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
They were 7-5. And then they didn't lose again until third quarter of the Super Bowl. And they just went on this roar.
Yeah.
So if they can kind of work their way through the first part of the season, I think by the middle of the year, this team could just take off. If they stay healthy, they could take off and rip off five wins in a row. That's where you get to the number one seed.
And when you look at the schedule, obviously you never know what teams are going to look like, how they're going to develop, and how strong or weak these teams are going to be in the second half. But look at the quarterbacks. Just look at the quarterbacks for these teams. And that, to me, is what's so determinative of how weak they are and how kind of gettable for wins they are for the Falcons. Guys like Daniel Jones, Geno Smith is like one of the more quality quarterbacks you're going to see in the back half of the schedule. A lot of rookies, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels. These are going to be quarterbacks you can take advantage of.
It is the Wait For Tailgate Show. We are just over 2 hours away from kickoff at Mercedes-Benz Stadium of the Falcons and the Steelers live today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.